pleased to take you to England for a conversation with Valerie Cartwright. Her husband, Howard George, wrote a book that's so fascinating. It's called The Admiral's Steward. And all the research that went into this and the fascinating journeys of making this happen, the places that they went actually together, I think is so much a part of how this book became what it's become. A book, by the way, that you can get on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Valerie, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a great pleasure. It's been delightful talking to you.
So let's talk about Howard. Tell me about Howard. Yes. And what he was like and his love for the law and how that all started.
Yeah. Well, his first love initially when he was at school was history. He was also a fluent German speaker. He loved learning German and languages. Someone once asked me, why did you marry a German? I said, I didn't marry a German. I married an Englishman. He said, but this man you're with is German. I said, no, he isn't. He's English. But this German thought that Howard was German because he spoke it so well. Anyway, he loved those where particularly English. He liked studying English, and that stood him in good stead for the law, for studying law. So English, history, and German were his very favourite subjects when he was at school. But he was going to go in to take history to a higher degree when he left school and go to university, but his history teacher persuaded him and his parents that he had such a logical mind and such a very good memory that he would make a very good lawyer. So that's how he became a lawyer.
And because of his love for the law and so much research that really goes into litigation and being a solicitor, and of course he worked ultimately as a crown prosecutor, which is just a huge, huge role in the UK. So actually tell me about that. How doing the CP work, what was that like for him?
Oh, he just enjoyed it. He found it fascinating. And he started off, he had worked in local government for many years, but he felt he wanted, after about, I don't know if it was 20 years, he felt he wanted to go in a new direction from working in local government. So he decided to apply for Crown prosecution, and he was taken in. And he worked in Liverpool to start with. And Liverpool people are well known for their sense of humour. And so he absolutely loved his colleagues in Liverpool. But then we moved house, and it was more convenient for him to go to Birkenhead, which is just across the Mersey from Liverpool, not far at all. He went to work in Birkenhead because it was easier to get to Birkenhead to work from where we live. So he worked for several years as a Crown prosecutor. And even after he retired, he did a few years more with them as a private prosecutor because they were glad to have his input, and he loved it. And again, he made a lot of friends. But he did make friends everywhere he went, actually. He was very easy to get on with, very straight and to the point. But he was a very kind person. In all the years, 50-odd years of marriage, he never raised his voice to me. He was a lovely man to be with. Absolutely loved his son and his two granddaughters. And he would help anyone. He was a great one for helping people. He wasn't just an academic. He had a good heart, and he loved going to church as well. He was a very devout person. So he had a lot of aspects to his character.
Yes,
really.
Yes, that's why I think that's part of his fascination with the Admiral's Steward. Tell me about that project and what that was like working with him, because you helped him with it. Tell me what that was like.
Well, yes. First of all, I used to go with him on his research work, you know, when he was trying to find out more, like going to the archives in Nottingham and going to Kew Gardens to find out what we could there. The Las Garrigues Institute in Piraeus, we found quite a lot there. So I traveled around with him. Sicily we went. And that was absolutely fascinating because we were staying in this hotel, which was on a square. And we were talking to someone in I think it was in a bookshop not far from this square. And Howard told them what he was there for, that he was doing research into the time when Nelson and Emma Hamilton and Sir William Hamilton had lived in Sicily, in Palermo. And we were staying there. And one of the Italians pointed out to us that just round the corner from where we lived was actually the house where they first lived in Italy together, the three of them.
Wow.
And we were able to visit this house, which is practically the same as where they lived there. It is now, the rooms are now used as offices. But downstairs is a very, very wide entrance into this building. And the whole of the downstairs would have been where the horse and carriages went in, with an exit at the other end where you went out again. But upstairs are all offices now. But this is where Lord and Lady Hamilton and Nelson would have lived. But eventually they moved up to the palace to live because the King and Queen of Sicily were extremely fond of the Hamiltons and Nelson, and they went to live there for a while as well. So, yes, you asked me to tell you about the research. A lot of it was traveling around. When Howard came to start writing the book, his first idea was to write it as a factual book. I suggested to him that perhaps he shouldn't do that. There have been loads of factual books about Nelson. If you could see the bookcase behind me, you'd see a whole row of them there because they also were part of Howard's research. But I said I wasn't aware that any fictional books had been written about this particular story. And if he wrote it as a sort of speculative fiction, no one could come back and say, well, that's not true. Because as I've said to you, although there were certain things that seemed to be absolutely correct, at this distance from things, we can't prove it was all correct. For example, one of the cousins said to us there had been a Bible which someone in a grand carriage had collected after Horatio Spencer, the original, this son of so-called Emma and Nelson. But someone had collected this Bible and we don't know where it is now. There was also a story in the family that monies had been paid to cover the cost of bringing up Horatio Spencer. But again, this isn't something we can prove. I tried contacting post offices and historical things like that to try and find out, but we couldn't. We couldn't find out how this money, so-called money, was paid. So the best thing was to write it as a piece of fiction. And personally, but I would say that, wouldn't I? I think it's a very good story.
So tell us about the story and why people should read it. What would be fascinating to them?
Well, there's a great deal written about the sea battles. Everyone knows the story. There can't be many people in this country who don't know the story about his last battle and about his injuries in other battles, Lord Nelson, that is.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that many people at all know the story of his steward and marrying Mary Heaver and this child being born at sea and being brought back undercover, if you like. We couldn't find out absolutely, but we think he was brought back in a ship called, oh, the Something and Mary. It was a smaller ship, and he was brought back in that. But he was taken, as I say, to Gotham and brought up by Thomas Spencer's uncle, William Spencer. And he's, for a long, long time, he thought that this was his father. But he discovered a few things when the uncle died. He discovered that he was actually a year older than he'd been led to believe. And he discovered that, you know, he all this business about being born at sea and so on. Yeah, but that's a fascinating story in itself about this boy.
It's fascinating all the way through. And we don't want to give away too many details, but
no.
you be pulled into this book. Valerie Cartwright, wow, you did Howard justice for sure, telling his story. Howard George wrote the book, The Admiral Stewart.
Yes.
Thank you for coming on the show and sharing it with us.
I'm delighted to have done so. Thank you very much for giving me time on your show.